welcome to the Aftershock Central podcast with Ronnie, me,
and no Travis.
No Travis. Travis is on assignment. He is trying to recover the blueprints for the Animata from the Leopard.
Yes.
You like that? I tied it in. Travis will be proud. So what's new there, Ronnie Boo?
Not much.
That's good to hear. This evening, Ronnie and I will be discussing the books that came out this past week, which are Animosity Evolution, number 8, and my favorite title of all time. I didn't say it was my favorite comic. My favorite title. Patience, Conviction, Revenge. I just like saying that.
Yeah, you have to say it that way.
Yeah, you have to. You can't do it any other way. If you do it any other way, you're wrong.
Yep. Normal conversation, and then all of a sudden you break into the voice and you're like, patience!
That's right. You got it, Ronnie. You got it. So, which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about patience first.
All right. Damn it, I have to say this again. Patience, Conviction, Revenge. Number 2, written by Patrick Clinden with art by Marco Ferrari, colors by Patricia Comino, letters by Jim Campbell. So, so this book, Ronnie, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's quite a thing. This second issue was much different than the first issue.
Indeed.
I thought it was quite hilarious, actually.
Yeah, the mood changed quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, quite a bit. So, you know, so at the end of the last issue, our main character, he got to the city, right? He's trying to find these gangsters or whatever, to get his revenge. And he decides to go to this brothel that I guess he used to hang out with at one point and go in there and try to find these guys and get his revenge. And, and he goes in there and the brothel is not what it used to be. Crap goes downhill pretty quick, I gotta say. And there's a lot of penis jokes.
There's a lot of penis, period. Like, the first panel has like dildos on the display there.
There are a ton of dildos, yes. That's true. We should put even, you know what, let's pause. Let's do an explicit warning right now. If you are afraid of hearing about penises, then do not listen to this. Also, do not read Batman Damned, apparently. That's a thing.
That is a thing. Literally.
Oh, my God. All right. So, yes, there's dildos everywhere. There's penis all over the place. There's robot boobs everywhere. There is indescript S&M panels. There's a lot of talk of penetration and double penetration and hookers. Oh, wait. No, yeah. not hookers. What do they call it? Full service. What is it? Oh, God. I wish I remembered.
Full service sex worker.
Yeah, there you go. Full service sex workers.
Yep.
Who just happened to not be human, actually. So. How do you feel about the tone change from the first issue to this one?
Even though it was kind of jarring, and I'm just saying just because of the tone was so abruptly, like, right out of the gate, the issue was fun, really.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just realized there's glory holes too. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. even the fountain in the park is in the shape of a penis head.
Yes. So, all right. Yeah. So I think when we talked about the first issue, you caught on to the humor a little bit more than Travis and I did. I think the humor was a lot more subtle in the first issue. This one is completely different. And I don't know if some of the comedy just came off as funny because there's a lot of like taboo sex imagery in this issue.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of funny. But I think the relationship, do we know what the main guy's name is, by the way? I just thought about that.
I thought we did, but
it doesn't matter. Cause let's be honest. Robot Paul is the star of this book. Right?
I love it.
Yes. So the main character and well, the secondary character and Robot Paul are walking around and they're having a discussion about how he created Robot Paul. And he's like, did I give you like sexual preference? And he's like, I hope not. That would be pretty crappy because you didn't even give me genitals.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I get where we're going now. This is cool. Yeah. And from there, it just kind of went I'm going to say downhill, but really I would say uphill, to be honest, because I thought this was a fantastic issue.
Yeah.
Fantastic issue. A lot more fun than the first one. And I think maybe a little more indicative of what the book is like.
You said indicative. No, I think the first one was really fun too. I just think that you and Travis tried to make it more serious than what it was, or was hoping.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's possible. It's very possible.
Because I thought the first one was pretty hilarious too.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there were some things in there that were pretty funny, but overall, I didn't think it was as fun as this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. And there's a nice crescendo in the action too, right? Cause you get this interaction between the two characters. They go into the brothel and he's like, we need to go investigate. And Robot Paul's like, you just want to get your rocks off cause you haven't gotten, you know, like you've been getting laid a week or whatever. I can't remember what he says. Yeah. And he's like, no, we need to investigate so I can get my revenge. And, you know, he goes in there. And it's a private party, right? So he gets stopped by this giant bodyguard, who was hilarious too, by the way, right? Cause usually you think like a bodyguard at a place like this would have to be super nasty because people just want to get in and want to take advantage of other people or whatever. But, he's super nice, super polite. And, he's just like, he's constantly crapping on the bodyguard or the bouncer.
Yeah.
And the bouncer's like, look, dude, just, no big deal. Just come back tomorrow. You know, it's a private party. And he's like, pew, pew, tranquilizer darts. And the bouncer just falls asleep. I thought that was kind of cool as well.
Yeah. And the main character's name is Rennie.
Rennie. There it is. So yeah, so once he goes inside, he's like, this is not the place I remember. By the way, the club is called Pinky Browns. You get it?
Yeah.
I get it. And on the sign, they have a bunny that looks like a shucker. there's people listening to this that are like, what are they talking about? What's the shocker? Do not look it up.
Do not.
If you Google it, you will have terrible images. If you want to learn what it is, go to Urban Dictionary and find out. So he comes there with all his other robots because he builds robots, right? We learned that in the first issue. He's got a bunch with him. And I love that whole scene too. Right. Cause he's like, Robot Paul, like set the team up. You know, they need to be on the roof in like 2 minutes ago. And so they're all getting ready and we see all his robots, getting into position, except the way the brothel works now, they're all, you know, all the hookers, all the sex workers are robots. And so all his robots are posing as prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. Which had some pretty awesome names too, right?
yeah, I'm trying to find the page.
You have Heavy Operator, Mr. Yep. Bear,
yep.
Adorabot, and Bazooka Mo.
yes. I think Adorabot is my favorite. And I love how he's just hanging there with a whip in his hand, like whipping this dude in the butt. That was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked Fogelion because that's an anime reference for the anime fans in the audience. It's Neon Genesis Evangelion, and the robot looks just like a character from that TV show.
Oh, nice!
I know you're not an anime fan, but figured I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, and Bazooka Mo looks like a little tank. Yes. Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Or maybe like a mechanical bull with tracks.
Yes, which I, you know what, he was actually really helpful in the story because when they're getting ready to do whatever they're going to do, apparently the plan is for them to pose as sex workers, and then when he gives the mark, they're just going to castrate whoever they're sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody at this club, it's a private party, and they're all members of the gang that kind of crapped on Rennie.
You're right.
So part of the revenge is going to castrate all these gangsters. And when he's ready to give the signal, this giant mech pops in and starts whooping his ass. And it turns out that it's a previous love interest who just so happens to now run the Pinky Brown.
Yep. Two Pinky Browns.
Yeah, I don't
Marisol?
Know.
Marisol? Is that what her name is?
Yeah, Marisol.
Yeah.
Which she thinks he's stalking her, by the way. All right, she's like,
Of course she does.
Well, of course she does. But like with this guy, you can kind of believe it too, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like she's got a high opinion of herself. It's just like, that's the kind of dude Rennie is. So yeah, it makes sense. And he's like, I don't care about you. I'm here to get my revenge.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the issue ends. But yeah.
They get hit with tranquilizer darts, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, we don't know from who.
Well, it's the other robot, right? Or the other mech.
Oh, yeah. See, I read that as, oh my God, you're right. For some reason, I thought that was Robot Paul.
It might be. Yeah, it probably is, because it says everyone castrate your clients and meet in the lobby ASAP.
Yeah. It's got to be Robot Paul. Which, I mean, that leads to another thing. Why is Robot Paul doing this? Has Rennie been set up by his gang and, like, they've taken over his robots?
No. See, I guess I just thought that since they have a history together, she also has a history with Robot Paul.
Mm.
And so, you know, Robot Paul doesn't want to pick one or the other, so that's why things got complicated.
I like that. I like that. I think that makes more sense with the tone of the book, at least.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, really, really fun issue. I love the art in this book too, by the way.
Yep.
And I'm surprised that you like it as much as you do, because it's very like anime inspired. The lines are a little looser than you would see in anime. Anime is very crisp, but I don't know. It reminds me of something like maybe like mid to late 80s anime, where the line work's a little grittier.
It reminds me of Chrononauts from.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Or even, well, I guess they're both Sean Murphy, right?
Yeah.
Tokyo Ghost too.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely has the Sean Murphy vibe. That now we're talking, Ronnie.
Yeah.
See, that's why you're in this podcast, man.
That makes sense sometimes.
Sometimes. Let's rate this one up.
I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. I'm going to give this a 4.5 dildos out of 5. If you're wondering how you can get half a dildo, don't look it up on Google.
Nope.
Don't duck, duck, go it. All right. Let's go to Animosity Evolution number 8. Ooh, yikes. Let's go to Animosity Evolution number 8. This is written by Marguerite Bennett with art by Eric Gapster. Colors by the Swaggy P, Rob Schwager, and letters by Marshall Dillon. Tell me a little bit about this book, Ronnie. Did I lose you? Hello?
No, I was on mute.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
This book is the complete opposite of the other one.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, tone-wise, it's not opposite as in this one is just as complex and goes deep. Just like the other one does, but which I think I called from the beginning. I don't know, but the other one we follow the band of quote unquote good guys, and then this one we follow the band of bad guys.
Mm. But you know, just like I mentioned, I guess last week, right, when we talked about animosity.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about perspective, right?
Yeah, are they really bad guys? Because I mean. Wintermute is really doing the right thing for her people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Except in this case, it seems to involve the mass murder of dolphins, which how dare you kill a freaking dolphin?
You see, yeah. I mean, it's okay. I'm going to say this and then we're going to get hate tweets, but I mean, yes, it's a mass murder of just dolphins. Right. It's not like she's planning to nuke some other village that's animals and humans, you know, and killing millions of people or animals.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? So this is the confusing thing about what's happening in this issue. And it's not a writing thing. It's in the way that Wintermute is reacting. So when she's having that discussion with, I can't remember anybody's name today, the guy that was passed out, Adam, there you go. When she's having the discussion with Adam after he comes back from his coma or whatever, she says something to the effect of like, I can't pick a species to exterminate. So, you know, everyone's basically got to pull their weight, and whoever pulls their most weight are the people that stick around or the animals that stick around.
Right.
I can't just go ahead and say, oh, well, the cows aren't, you know, providing their whatever they need to do to make the community better. So I'm just going to kill all the cows and then we can feed the cows to everybody else. You know, if there's some cows that are good for the community and, you know, they better the community, then they get to stay. And those that don't do that, then they're going to, you know, they're the weaker ones and they'll end up dying in the struggle. But that's exactly what she's doing with this meeting she's taken with the Ur-King, where she's going to kill all the dolphins. How that's not going to piss the Ur-King, I'm not really understanding. But she's going to kill all the dolphins and then feed the dolphins to people, which brings up a couple issues. If she kills the dolphins, won't the Ur-King go back to what he was doing, which is destroying the water desalinization plants? So mm-hmm. they'll have food, but then they won't have water.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense. And again, why is she picking dolphins to kill when she just said she can't pick a species to exterminate?
Yeah. There's another thing she said that I found quite interesting too, because she's quite philosophical, really. But when she's talking to Adam and she says, oh, Adam, why couldn't you just have slept for just a while longer? Then this would have been all done when you awoke, when you two wake. So I don't know if she was trying to do something for him to where he became awoken like the animals did, or if he starts seeing her side of the philosophy. I don't know. I don't know what that meant.
So yeah, that part was confusing because, I think that happens about halfway through. Then towards the end, Adam goes back to her and, you know, she's like,
because he finds out the plan, right?
Right. He finds out the plan. So he goes back to her as she's about to meet the Ur-King and he tries to tell her about the leopard and whatever. He's not a wolf or whatever. It doesn't matter. And she's like, look, the situation right now is important. I want you to do it. Do you understand? If I tell you to run, you will run. If I tell you to hide, you will hide. If I tell you to kill your way out, do you understand me? And I was like, Wintermute. And she's like, you were not meant to be here. You were meant to turn on me. So I want to know what the hell the plan is, because her plan was for him to still be passed out, which my assumption now is she planned for him to be, because she knew, right, that they were going to try to destroy the Animata.
Yeah.
And so she planned for Adam to be in a situation so he would get hurt and go into a coma. Then she would have this meeting with the Ur-King and make whatever deal they were going to make, kill the dolphins, and then whatever the fallout of that is, Adam was supposed to come in and his reaction would actually be the ultimate plan, not anything else. And that's what's really confusing to me, because I can't think about what exactly the plan is.
Yeah, I agree. Because I was going to bring up that point too, because this whole time her plan was for him to betray her again.
Right.
Because this would be like his second or third test so far in this series. Remember?
Yep.
So, I mean, if you haven't turned on somebody in two tests, then chances are you're probably not going to do it on the third one either.
Yep. But she wasn't really expecting that, right?
Right, yeah. She was expecting him to turn.
Yeah. But the thing is, why? That's what I'm curious to know.
Maybe she doesn't trust humans.
I mean, okay, maybe. But what would that accomplish, though?
Well, I mean, she's basically just... He's been a tool to her this whole series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the human doctor.
Right.
So, I don't think she's doing it to, like, be cold and callous. But she's just using her tools at her disposal type thing. And she figured, okay, I'm gonna make this decision, which is gonna piss or have this repercussion. And so then these tools or chess pieces aren't gonna be on the board anymore.
So I'm curious, do you think it's possible that she is inadvertently trying to train Adam to take over her spot because she feels like ultimately the kind of leader that's needed is somebody like Adam who's compassionate and understands and wants equality for everybody and is always willing to do the right thing. But
once the groundwork's laid by
exactly.
Exactly. By her, yeah.
Because
or not just her attitude.
The groundwork for the type of civilization that she wants, which is kind of to go back to normal, right? Except now with the animals brought into human society. Mm-hmm. A person like Adam can't get us to that place because his idealism will prevent him from doing what is necessary to survive the situation.
Correct.
Right. Because then he'll also be taken advantage of, for example, by the Earth King or the Leopard or whoever, whatever other parties are involved.
Right. He wouldn't be able to make the hard decisions.
Right. Right. So what do you think about that? Crazy theory time.
Oh, yeah. Because I think you're pretty spot on that because even after that, she says your turn to speak will come.
Yeah.
But now we're in the presence of a god.
Yeah.
Which, I still think that even though perspective-wise, I still think that Wintermute is looked at as the bad person overall.
Hmm. That's possible.
I mean, not by like you or I or, you know, whatever, but I think at the beginning, that was the idea, I think. Animosity proper was going to be, you know, this one thing, and then we're going to flip the script on the second book.
Yeah, I got you. Yep. All right, so now we know for sure that the Earth King is a giant squid, so that was pretty sweet. I love me some giant squids. They're delicious. They make some fantastic calamari.
Is it a squid or an octopus?
Well, you're right. It does look like an octopus.
I mean, you can't really... Honestly, tell, can you?
You can't, but because it's got like a rounded head, then it must be an octopus. Squid have more pointy heads.
Okay.
Now, I didn't know that there were octopuses this big. I know there's like giant squid. I didn't know there were giant octopi.
Not even back in like dinosaur days?
Oh, maybe. I mean, they had like Volkswagen-sized... Like rats and crap back then, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, in this world, could it be leagues under the sea of where they still live or whatever?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I don't know. That had me curious. I do like, man, octopuses are so smart. Have you ever seen videos of, like, octopus escaping from, like, zoo tanks and whatever, from aquariums?
Yeah. Yeah. I fell down that rabbit hole.
God, do not go on YouTube and do that. So you will watch those things forever.
Yep.
Yeah, they're super smart. So makes sense that he would be in charge of the sea. And actually, that's really interesting, by the way. I don't know what the exact time frame is from the wake until now. I think it's only a few months, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, you know... On land, we have all these different factions, right? I mean, in Animosity proper, we've met like at least a half a dozen different groups. In here, there's a couple different ones, and we're only focusing on this one city or this one part of the city. So, I mean, you can only imagine how many groups are around the rest of the state. But the Earth King is in charge of all the oceans. Right? And all species of animal and whatever else lives in the ocean. How he was able to do that in such a short amount of time, I'm really curious about. Maybe we need an animosity underworld or something, focusing on the sea, the Earth King.
Then we can get different perspective on tons of things.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that. Even if it was like a one or two shot.
God, imagine how awesome that would look too. It'd be like an Aquaman book.
Yeah. Cause then you'd have sperm whales and great white sharks.
Sperm whales. Are you trying to bring it back to patience, conviction, revenge?
No, I'm just saying, because they're huge.
That's what she said.
when Travis is away.
But, I find that really interesting that, you know, the Earth King hasn't had, presumably, any of these issues. And if he has, he was able to handle the situation much better and much more efficiently than any of the land animals.
And much more quietly too, right?
Yeah. Interesting.
So maybe that's why he is the god of the sea.
Yeah. The seven seas.
Yeah.
He must unite the seven.
Well, apparently he did.
All right, let's rate this one up.
This one gets a solid 4 out of me. 2.
Yep. I'm going to give this one a 4 as well. All right. Next week, we have 3 books, Ronnie. We have Pestilence, Story of Satan number 5, which I think that was the last issue. I don't know, but we'll say it is. I hope I'm right. It is, right? Because didn't it say to be concluded next issue?
Yeah, I think it's the end of the second arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So final issue of Story of Satan. Then we've got Beyonders number 3. I'm excited for that. And then excited for Dead Kings number 1.
Yeah.
Steve Orlando.
Yeah.
I do like me some Steve Orlando. He's doing that Martian Manhunter book coming out.
Never heard of it.
What?
it's cool because it's another military style book, but it's not written by Garth Ennis.
It's true.
So now all I need is a Western book from Aftershock.
A Western written by Brian Michael Bendis. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
He's already writing like 20 different titles at DC. He doesn't have time for it.
At least. I'd be so down for a Western, dude. So down for a Western.
Yeah.
Not enough of those anymore.
Nope.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. If you want to find us on Twitter, Ronnie's at Rumbar316. I'm at Geekbind. Travis is at The Great Magnet. And the show is at Aftershock Pod. Catch you on the next one.